Greetings, and may the peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndale, and I am privileged to be your host today. I warmly invite you to enter into another conversation of living the Catholic life. We're here at the studio this beautiful, sunny day. We haven't seen the sun in quite a while here in West Michigan, and it's a pleasure to see it here. But also, it's a reminder that we're starting down our liturgical year, and we're coming into the Lenten season, which is a powerful time in our lives when we really start drawing ourselves into the Lord and having this understanding of what it means to be Catholic in our lives. But it's also a time in this Lenten season when we start to see men's conferences start to proliferate around the state of Michigan. And these conferences really have a profound purpose. They're really the understanding that men are being drawn in together in a relationship with one another in a brotherhood. And it's that brotherhood that really serves a powerful acclamation to who we are as church. And as when men gather together, there's something unique that happens. There's a dynamic that goes on that goes beyond just our Sunday worship, because it really draws men together into a relationship and seeing what it means to be a man and to live in the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we really want to have this conversation with our guest today. And I want to welcome Steve Goffney. He's the executive director of really the Catholic Information Center of West Michigan and a part of Newman Bookstore. Thank you for being here, Steve.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And I want to welcome Deacon Louis Zemlich, who's from the Diocese of Kalamazoo.
Yes, indeed.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Pleasure to be here.
You know, it's been our pleasure to have these Catholic men's conferences going on and really bringing men to an understanding that we don't know the answers all the time as Catholics, because we've just not had the time, or we haven't made the time to really educate ourselves in our Catholic understanding of who we are. But these conferences do a wonderful job in bringing a fullness and a richness of our faith to these men and present them in a logical and concise way that really stimulates them to think about the Lord in a whole different perspective. Wouldn't you agree with that, Steve?
I do, and I think our guest speaker this year, John Martinoni, the word you just used there, logic. This guy is like the best.
Is he good
at bringing the logical thought process that us men have to the faith? He's really, really good at the logic.
Yeah. You know, and we men, sometimes we need that, because, you know, we think in terms of how our car runs, and we think in terms of how we build our house. We're logical thinkers when it comes to that. But somehow we lose that dimension of logic in our faith journey, because we don't apply the same standards at times, because faith to us sometimes can be just out there and really not have that strong understanding of what it means to come into a logical understanding, as did when you read any books by C.S. Lewis, mm-hmm. Mere Christianity. He brought himself to an understanding through logic. So tell us a little bit about what's going on, first of all, with the Newman Bookstore.
Well, Newman's Bookshop is located in downtown Kalamazoo. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Okay. We are more than a book and gift store. Obviously, that's why we're putting on this men's conference.
Okay.
We've been located there for 4.5 years. Prior to that, it was run by the Caseys.
Yes.
It was called Holy Family Books and Gifts.
Okay.
And, you know, God bless them for starting this apostolate.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just progressed from there. God has a plan, and this thing is just growing. It's growing, yes.
Yeah. Well, Steve, let me ask you this. Who was in charge of the men's conference prior to you taking it on?
Well, there was an organization in Kalamazoo, the Catholic Men's Fellowship Group, and that was run by Mike Anderson.
Okay.
And he ran it for the first 8 years. And I guess he turned 100 years old or something like that, and
oh,
he decided.
I like that, Mike. You know, and I personally know Mike Anderson. He's a wonderful man,
yeah.
Loves the Lord, and was totally involved in what the conferences.
Yes, he's all in. He's all in. So anyway, he decided to turn it over to Newman's Bookshop to run it, and so this will be our third year of being in charge of the men's conference.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. Did you bite off more than you can chew at the beginning?
You know, yes and no. I mean, everything, you know, God doesn't give us more than we can handle,
right.
You know, but sometimes I think it's right on the edge there, you know.
Yeah.
We're, you know, as a nonprofit, we're always running with a skeleton crew. And
right.
You add on a men's conference, and we were doing a women's conference at the time, and other speakers and events at Newman's Bookshop. And, you know, it does. It takes a lot of time. But,
it does.
God just blesses everything we do, it seems like. So,
you know, I've told you also, we have our men's conference in Grand Rapids called CAFA, and we started it with a bare bones group, and we've since grown to about, I think we probably have 9 or 10 guys who are part of our group that runs the conference. And you know what? Everybody stays busy. There's a lot of things to consider when you're putting on a conference.
Yes, and that's true. A lot of the guys that helped Mike run the conference are also helping us now.
Wonderful.
So there's the leaders from certain churches that are on our little committee to
Wonderful.
Make sure we get the word out to the men. Also help me get things organized with the confessions that are going to happen, adoration, you know, all the little details that would just be too much for one person.
Yeah, you know, and we had talked about this before we came on the radio. These Catholic men's conferences are meant to be driven by the lay people. These are never meant to be a clerical movement. These are meant to be driven by men who really love the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's an understanding that we catechize them from the ground up. It's a groundswell, and it's most great movements in the church happen from the bottom up, and they rise up. We're seeing this with the men's conference. We're seeing men who are really rising up to this occasion and really meeting this and the need to bring others into fellowship with one another.
Well, that's why Newman's Bookshop exists, to evangelize and to catechize.
Yep.
And I see it on a daily basis, just people coming in, falling away Catholics or even – yesterday we had a Lutheran minister in.
Is that right?
2 weeks ago we had a Presbyterian minister in. I love talking to these guys.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. To evangelize, to catechize, and so the men's conference is just an extension of that.
Yes.
It's just another way we can get the word out there.
Yeah. How many men do you anticipate you'll have at your conference, Steve?
Well, last year we had 155.
Okay.
You know, so we just want to keep growing.
Right.
There's a, you know, In the diocese today, there's a lot going on. Each individual church seems like they have a decent speaker coming in all the time.
Yep, exactly.
You know? And so I get it. You can't do everything. You can't go to every conference and thing that goes on in the diocese. So, but to that point, you know, this is a great chance for men throughout the entire diocese, even Grand Rapids. Come on down, fellas.
Yeah.
You know, can come down and enjoy that fellowship that that we need as men sometimes, you know.
Now, what is the date of your conference?
We're Saturday, March 29th. It'll kick off at 8:45 a.m. at the Cathedral, St. Augustine's Cathedral. Bishop Bradley will be saying Mass.
Wonderful.
And then we'll just walk across the parking lot to the Crawley Center and begin the conference from there.
What time do you go till?
We should be done at 2:45, probably no later than 3 o'clock.
Okay. And you feed them, too?
We have a hot lunch.
All right.
Mike Anderson, we're one of only two in the country that have hot lunches.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes. And it's really good. The kitchen table, put a little plug in for her. She's really good. A lot of homemade stuff.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes.
When you had your first conference, what were your numbers for your first conference? You recall?
Yeah, we struggled to hit 100 the first year.
Okay.
You know, and quite honestly, we lost some money that first year.
Okay.
Second year, we broke even, and so we're looking to expand on that this year. So.
Yeah. Now, I'm reading here on your speakers. Maybe you can tell us a little about your keynote speaker that you're going to have this year.
Yeah, John Martinoni. He's on EWTN. In fact, he's on this radio station every now and then with his radio show. He's the founder of Bible Christian Society. And I had the pleasure of seeing him in person a few years ago here in Kalamazoo. It's been a while, so we thought we'd bring him back in.
Yeah.
But, you know, he just, in my opinion, he just tears it up. He just goes through the Bible and just logically lays it out there for you. When I see him, I'm going to ask him if he could just write a book for us, you know, because as Catholics, we're always defending ourselves against the attacks.
Exactly.
He lays it out there where you can ask them questions and say, well, why do you believe in this? You know, it could be tough for them to answer some questions after we answer our questions.
Yeah, so. You know, Steve, that's a good point you make. I think many Catholics try and answer the questions of their faith in a defensive posture rather than being on the offensive, because we have the fullness of faith. We say that, but, you know, we mean that we really have the answers to life's questions and when it comes to faith and morals. And so the hardest thing for men, and I think that's why these conferences are so important, is that it helps them to understand their faith. It helps them become better apologists for their faith and to be able to answer those questions. I've said it many times before, and God bless the Jehovah Witnesses. They can come up, they can be a 30-day student out of Jehovah Witness and come to a Catholic door and tear them apart in about 30 seconds because they're just not prepared for the answers. It's like anything else, you know. Some are physicians, some are attorneys, some are plumbers, some are whatever your occupation is. You have a keen knowledge of what it takes to run your business, and yet one of the most important things of our life, our Catholic faith, many times we're still just eating pablum. We just don't have the answers, and I would suggest to men, this is a beautiful time to really dig deeper into your faith and be able to defend that beautiful faith that we have. And so I encourage men who are listening today to really have this understanding that these conferences are not just a day long and they're not just something you just go and listen to. It's something you absorb and it's something that starts to transform you. Mm-hmm. And that's important.
And John Martinoni is really good at what you're saying. And he lays it out there for the men, whatever the topic, and he'll bring CDs with him and the guys can pick those up. But the first thing he's probably going to tell you is, if you don't know the answer to the question someone is asking you, tell them, I don't know the answer, but I'll get back with you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, because the answer is out there for us Catholics.
Yes.
And it's not an arrogant statement, but we do have the fullness of the faith.
Yes, we do.
We fear nothing, okay? No matter what question they ask, even if you don't know it off the top of your head, we can go find out what it is.
That's right. We should be unapologetically Catholic.
Amen. I like that.
And just have that firm belief. Deacon Louie.
Yes.
You know, here you are. Now, I asked you this question prior to this. You've been a deacon now for how long?
For about a year and a half now.
Wonderful.
Just a beautiful, beautiful experience. And I'm amazed by it every day and every weekend and just so honored by it.
Yeah, it's powerful, isn't it?
It really is.
It's more than you can ever imagine when you're going through the journey.
It really is. But it's also very demanding too.
Yeah.
And you know,
have you learned to say no yet?
I have learned to say I've got somebody else you can talk to about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not so much no. I'm real careful with the no, but there's other people who can lots of other people who can do things better than me.
Exactly.
And so I send them to someone who can help them more than I can.
Now, you're a married deacon.
Yes, I am.
Children?
Yep, five children, all pretty much grown, just one left in college.
Wonderful.
Actually, one and a half. And so that's moving along, but there's always new things on the forefront.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord keeps putting things in front of me. The Blessed Mother has plans for me for every minute of my day. When one project ends, another one begins.
Exactly.
Within days. So
exactly.
It's a lot of fun.
From your perspective as a deacon, what do you see the value and what sense do you have about these Catholic men's conferences?
Well, I'll tell you, my conversion story is kind of a St. Paul conversion story. I'm in recovery. It kind of fell off the horse, as you will. 19 years ago,
okay.
Really had to take a hard look at my life, and I admire these men who go to these conferences,
yeah.
And you know, to be and I know that there's men that go to these conferences that are in recovery from whatever they're in recovery from. Life is hard.
It is.
It's very brutal. But I really admire the courage of these men to be able to go to these conferences and to, you know, put themselves in front of the Lord and say, you know, mold me, help me.
Exactly.
And I think probably the biggest thing that I would say to men today is, you know, if whatever you're going through, going to one of these conferences can be the turning point for you. It can be the turning point to rebuilding your marriage. The turning point to rebuilding your relationship with God, rebuilding your relationship with the church. It's an intimate moment where you can take it as deep as you want, or you can be as surface as you want.
That's right.
And you can find men who are going to be of like mind.
Exactly.
And there's people that you can help too. I think as men immerse themselves with God. They can help others.
Yeah.
And that's what we're called to do.
You know, Deacon, you make a good point, because I've told some of the people that I've talked to, I said, don't try and do this on your own.
Yeah.
If you're going through a crisis, you need fellowship.
Right.
You need somebody to be accountable to, someone to witness to you, and men that can, who have walked that journey,
yeah,
who can tell you the expectations you should have, and being realistic about how you go about living that new life if you're going to do that.
Right.
And it's not easy.
It's not easy, and I think it's the great lie in the world today is that, you know, men are supposed to fix it somehow.
Yeah.
And we are supposed to try to help the situation. We are called to be leaders. And part of that leadership is surrender. If you can surrender yourself to the Lord, if you can say, you know what, this is how I can help my family,
yep,
this is how I can help myself, you'll be stronger than ever. There's no doubt.
It's funny you said that word, and I'm not trying to plug my own conference here, but our CAFA conference, the title of ours this year is Surrender.
Yeah.
The Ultimate Power.
Amen.
And it really is an understanding of surrender is not giving up, it's giving in. And when you were talking about that, Deacon, surrendering, you're surrendering to God.
Yes.
And you're surrendering to His providence.
Right.
And it is the ultimate power, because it takes a man to say, I surrender to something greater than myself.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the grace that God pours out on each and every one of us every day, including right now as He's with us, I think if we don't empty out that part that's inside of us, that prideful part that says, I can fix it, I can do it, God cannot help us.
Yeah.
He can't reach us, whether we're at a conference or whether, you know, we're at our work or wherever we are.
You know, and in this culture, too, that is really a downfall of all of us men, is that we think we have the answers. We think we can fix anything on the spot. I know my wife at times would say to me, you know, I'm not asking you to fix it. I'm just asking you to listen.
Right.
And I'm not looking for the answer.
Right.
You know,
but I'd like to fix it for you, too, if I could. You know, that'd be nice.
But I know how to fix it, or so we think. But you're absolutely right. And we need to change that thinking, because God is the ultimate fixer.
Yes.
But He reveals to us what it takes to do that.
Yeah.
So we walk this journey with Him. And that's why these conferences, Steve, are so important, because it's probably, it may be the first time for a man who's come to one of these conferences, has the first time to really go to reconciliation in a long time. And that is such a powerful understanding.
It is. And that's probably the thing that strikes me maybe the most at these conferences is the lines of men that are going to confession.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's the only time all year they're really going, mm-hmm, and it's an opportunity for them. We have at least 6 priests lined up. You know, hopefully we can find a few more this year to get the lines to go a little faster. But the point is, these guys are going to confession. Mm. And I guess linking that to our conference this year is Father James Adams from the Diocese of Kalamazoo.
Wonderful.
He has a degree in moral theology, and he's also going to give us a talk on how to live the moral life in the 21st century.
Which is not easy.
And, you know, he's one of these young, studly priests that's just going to be, you know, he's on fire for the Lord, and we just love him, and we're thankful he's going to be there. And so, you know, in addition to 2 talks by John Martinoni, you get Father Adams as well to talk about this and hopefully move your heart to get into confession.
You know, and I think it's vitally important for our young men at the conferences, our middle-aged men, and our older men to see these young Catholic priests who are on fire for the Lord, because it really is the hope of our church.
Amen.
And we're starting to see the change in these hearts. But when these men speak, they speak with wisdom, even at their young age, because God has infused them with a wisdom, what it means to live in this world
Perfect.
Today.
Yeah, yeah. These guys are priests because they want to be priests.
Exactly.
And they're out there on fire.
Exactly.
And it's inspiring.
It is inspiring. You know, I'm inspired. I have my first cousin, Paco Gavrilides, who's been on the show before. He is a professor at Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit. And he says that we are seeing such a difference in the men coming through seminary today because their hearts are really on fire for the Lord,
right.
And they're becoming dynamic in witnessing to the church and witnessing to the people in their parishes and all around the world. So thanks be to God we have these men coming through there.
Yeah, there's, I believe, 13 young men in the seminary in the Diocese of Kalamazoo.
Wonderful.
And I've met almost all of them. They come to Newman's Bookshop quite often.
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes when they're on break, you know, Christmas break or whatever, they their first stop when they get back to Kalamazoo is Newman's Bookshop, and then they go see their mom and dad.
Of course, they're coming in to be refreshed.
Yes,
you have
exactly.
There.
It's awesome.
That's one. Now, you know, I know these priests are more than willing, like your conference, to come and hear reconciliation because they really know it's the heart of the matter. They know to get these men into that confessional is really what the Lord is calling them to, is to have that profound moment of really reconciling ourselves with Christ.
Amen.
And many men don't have an understanding what it means to receive the Eucharist outside of a righteous relationship with the Lord and the damage we can do to ourselves because we're not taught that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be very clear and succinct to our men. We need to reconcile. What do you think about that, Deacon?
Well, it's a very powerful statement, you know, to receive the sacraments in that intended state of grace.
Yes.
To really, for it to be transformative.
Yes.
For it to be the type of experience where God goes into you and he goes into a beautiful garden, which is what Amen. God designs it to be, a
That's
beautiful
right.
garden inside us. Instead of the it goes into the scene from like Animal House or something where a couch is burning on the front yard and tires and it's the Lord goes in and it's chaos.
Exactly.
So when that reconciliation happens, when that chaos is removed, that Eucharist comes in, miraculous things happen.
You do.
For all of us.
Yeah.
And I think we can all attest to that if we have our heart open to that. And it's a beautiful thing. And I encourage men to, you know, do this because you don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Go to this conference because you don't want to go.
That's right.
Because I'll tell you who's making the suggestion for you not to go. And that's the devil.
Yeah, that's right.
And he wants you not to succeed. He doesn't want your family to succeed. He does not want you to be in any relationship with Jesus Christ. He does not want you to be in any type of loving relationship with the Blessed Mother.
That's right.
To really find out what true family is about.
Yeah.
And so I encourage people to go.
Yeah. You know, Deacon Louis, you said it too. You know, the efficacy of the sacrament
yes.
is really dependent upon us.
Yes.
I mean, there's always going to be the Eucharist, and that will always be there available for us. But we have to come in the right disposition. And be open to the Lord and be free of our personal sins. Now, I shouldn't say our personal sins because we're sinful people.
Yeah.
But the serious sins we need to take care of
yeah.
before we indulge in the sacraments like that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't realize not only is your sin forgiven in the sacrament, but the graces that you receive
yeah.
from that.
Yeah.
Amen.
You can go out back into the world, and you are stronger
yes.
because of the grace.
Yes, right.
If we realize that we're receiving the grace and not just our sins yeah. being forgiven.
Yeah. You know, Stephen, I'm willing to bet you've probably witnessed at your conference men who have stood in that line to go to reconciliation. And immediately when they come out, you can see a transformation in their face.
Mm-hmm.
You can see there's this relief that I finally did what I should have done many years ago, and that's really become honest before the Lord.
Yeah.
And really bare my soul and really go in for this repentant mode.
Yeah, and then they'll say something to me like, that priest was really good. Who
yeah.
was he?
You yeah. know? Yeah. You know, I want to encourage our Catholic men who haven't been to reconciliation in a long time. God bless every one of our priests. They never sit in that confessional waiting to condemn.
Amen.
They sit in there in persona, in place of Christ, to forgive your sin.
That's right.
And to bring you in there to a loving relationship with God the Father and His Son again. And it should never be a time of angst. It should be a time of joyfulness that you can have that relationship again.
Yes.
And our priests, thank you. I want to just set a shout out for all our priests. Thank you for really continuing
absolutely
on that journey with us, because we need you desperately.
You bet.
Amen.
Yeah, we need you on that. So you've got Father James. You got Father James Adam is going to be speaking. In conjunction with that, what else goes on during the day? You've got your speakers, Steve. What else?
Yes, we have. Well, you know, and it's funny, too, as we took over the conference, you know, I always felt a little bit of pressure, like I have to bring in, you know, the circuit speakers, the top-notch guys and all that. And we try to do that, you know, because, you know, that just reflects on Newman's Bookshop as well. You know, we want to roll out the red carpet for the guys. Mm-hmm. However, the guys on the committee let me know, and it really took the pressure off of me, and that is, look, Steve, hey, we're there for the men's fellowship. We want to get together as men. We start with Mass with Bishop Bradley. That's awesome. We have an opportunity for confession. Adoration is going on during the lunch period. So after you have your sins forgiven, you can go kneel down in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
Right.
Thank him for that sacrament. We have the hot lunch and then the speaker, you know. So the speaker is really just the cherry on top is what they let me know.
Exactly.
And I really appreciate those guys for doing that, because it just relaxed me a little bit, you know.
And you're really, they're right on that too, Steve, because, you know, sometimes we can focus too much on who's going to be our headline speaker rather than an understanding that men just need the fellowship.
Right.
They need to sit amongst one another and say, you know, here's what I'm suffering from. And the guy next to him saying, you know what, I've been through that, brother, and I can relate to you on that level. That's what they're really there for, is to share that journey. Mm-hmm. And the speakers can lend great to the journey and give them some roadmaps as to how to get through this. But there's nothing better than that personal witness of somebody else who's lived that life.
Plenty of conversations going on during lunch.
Yeah, there is. We see that too. We also, at our conference, we have an optional rosary if anybody wants to do a rosary with us, because many men have honestly quite never prayed the rosary.
Yeah.
Or have an understanding of what it means to pray with the Blessed Mother as an intercessor to her son. And so it's a new venture, as is adoration. You know, many of our Catholics just don't have a profound sense of adoration. Deacon, when you go, do you have an adoration chaplain at your parish, or do you have?
We do not. I typically go to St. Monica's parish for adoration. Radiation therapy, as they call it, you know. And
I like that.
It's very good, and it's one of those things, like with this conference, those times that we spend quietly with the Lord after the speaker is gone, who's John Martinoni, excellent CDs too. I know he has a great CD collection, and I'm sure he'll have those at the conference for people to take with them. But really this profoundness of an adoration of this quietness, of really that the Lord is speaking with each and every one of us, just like he's speaking with those who are listening today. We all have those things on our minds, those issues that we need to address.
Yeah.
And this is a great beginning, a great way to start that.
Yeah.
But adoration, so powerful for those who haven't experienced it on a regular basis, because all of this stuff has to do with doing these things on a regular basis.
Exactly.
It's not just a one-time event. I'm going to go to a conference and I'm going to become like Mother Teresa. It's just, it takes time.
It does.
Things take time. And
baby
it takes
steps.
Work. Yeah, baby steps, and it takes work.
You know, and as you said too, we need that silence. We need to sit at the feet of the Master.
Yeah.
And that's hard for men to do in this noisy world, to think they're going to take an hour and sit in the presence of Christ. But you know what? There's something that happens in there that none of us can, you know, say that it doesn't. We're drawn into the mystery of the Eucharist. We're drawn into the mystery of Christ. We're drawn into the mystery of how much he loves us.
Amen.
And we're drawn into the understanding that we're called to something greater. And so we have to really face our humanness in that chapel.
Absolutely.
As we sit before the Lord Jesus. And it's a time that I you know, I love myself, because our Catholic men's, our men, we meet once a month, are the group that runs it, and we sit in adoration together every once a month at 6 in the morning till about 6:30, quarter to 7. Then we have breakfast together, so that we need to build that fellowship between us as the leaders, so that we can bring it to the conference. And we know that it's really only in the presence of Christ that we can do that. And Steve, I don't know, but when your men, how often do you meet with your men to work on your conference?
Well, we probably have just two meetings.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
But they're out there doing the legwork,
yes.
You know, and then they just kind of report back and say, yeah, we got all this thing, these things lined up.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, it's not a big time-consuming thing where we're meeting all the time to organize it, but
right.
They're doing their own
thing. Yeah, we meet twice a month.
Okay.
So we're not absolutely engulfed with it all the time, but because we do have a fairly good number of guys along, just to scale. As you grow, it gets a little more planning.
Very thankful to these guys, because if that's all I had to focus on was the men's conference, wow, but I've got a business to run. I've got ministry work to do,
yes.
You know, so my plate is full.
Yes.
You know, if I was just doing the men's conference, boom,
it'd
you know, we could just pour myself into that.
You know,
but, you know,
I'm sorry.
So,
as you were speaking, tell us a little bit more about the business you're running, the Newman's Bookshop here.
Well, as I said, we're located in downtown Kalamazoo, and it is we're more than just books and gifts in a sense of we're right next to Bimbo's Pizza. So people, Protestant or fallen away Catholics or whatever, they're done eating their pizza, and they're like, oh, wow, I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah.
And so many times, especially when we first opened, we would get Protestants coming in asking questions.
Can you give us a little history of the bookstore?
Well, I think the Caseys ran it, started it, owned it, ran it for 10 or 12 years.
Okay.
And then Father Sirico from the St. Philip Neri House, when the Caseys wanted to retire, basically him and he rounded up some benefactors to buy the materials and but also at the time changed the name and location to Newman's Bookshop,
okay.
From Holy Family Books and Gifts. And, you know, at the time, it was laying out the game plan, the big game plan.
Yeah.
And this was before, I've been there almost 4 years. So all this happened before I got there. But, you know, they wanted to do men's conferences, women's conferences. They wanted to have a radio station.
Okay.
And for a while they did. They did a little half-hour thing where they would just pop in a Scott Hahn CD, you know, and have that locally.
Oh, great.
And then a couple of guys, local talent, would get on there and do a Q&A kind of thing for
sure.
A half hour. And so we did that. But we realized that it was just too much for one person to run Newman's Bookshop and do the half-hour radio show. And so
yeah.
We got away from that for a while.
Okay.
But we did have a benefactor who had the license for a radio station. And along comes Robert Mulderink from Holy Family Radio. And, again, God had a plan, and that license did not go to waste. And they took advantage of it and brought Catholic radio down to Kalamazoo.
That's right. And now we're broadcasting in Kalamazoo, and it's a pleasure to have you on board on that one.
You know, and it's kind of pretty. It's really, I get fired up when I think about it. But we're like cousins or brothers, you know. They're on the air doing their thing, evangelizing. We have the bookstore and all these great resources that Catholics have in the area now. So all the hard work is done as far as the book has been written, the CD has been taped, the video's been made.
Yeah.
It's up to the Catholic individual to put the time and effort into growing their faith.
It is.
To read it, listen to it, watch it, go to the conference, listen to Catholic radio on the air, and grow closer to God. One of my favorite Bible verses, Hebrews 12:14, strive for that holiness so you can see the face of God.
Yes.
Just strive. It doesn't mean you're always going to be successful. Strive. Do something.
That's right.
Don't just go to Mass on Sunday. Do a little more.
Well, at your conference now, Steve, will you have a table set up for the Newman Bookstore there?
Yes, we will.
Okay.
Yes.
So, men, there's no reason you can't delve into some good Catholic reading and start to catechize yourself. If you're like me, probably when you were in high school, you heard about half of what was being said and ignored the other half. So what I'm suggesting is that we need to reform ourselves at time, and it takes effort. But, you know, when we've got such great literature available to us today, great authors and dynamic speakers like this where we can listen to the CDs, mm-hmm. and you know, there's no better time than driving in your car sometimes, either to say the rosary or to really put in a CD that would really bring the dynamics of our Catholic faith alive.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things you offer, right, Steve?
Yes, and I know I got a little sidetracked there a little bit fired up. But you know, the other thing that inspires me, two other things that come through the door, fallen away Catholics that want to get back into, and a lot of them, I went to Catholic grade school and high school, and I just wasn't listening or whatever the problem was, and now they want to find their way back.
Yes.
And I really, really like taking them through the store and talking to them and hearing their story and then helping them find the right book or whatever it's going to be to get them back on their journey.
Yes, exactly.
And the other thing that really inspires me is seeing how many faithful Catholics come in and go, well, I was riding on the bus and these boys with skateboards saw me praying my rosary. And so I took that opportunity to tell them a little bit about the rosary and I gave it to them. They wanted it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So now I'm here not only to get my Magnificat, but I need another rosary. You know, so many people, it's time and time again, they're buying books and giving them away. And, you know, the John Paul II, new evangelization.
Exactly.
People live in their faith.
Yeah.
Every Friday, 12 to 1, we have confessions at Newman's Bookshop. So we get a priest in there. Usually it's Bishop Murray.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And he tells me he hears more confessions during that one-hour time frame at Newman's than when he goes out to a church.
Oh, my gosh.
And it is. It's like just a steady flow of people coming through there.
What a wonderful gift you offer the people.
Yeah.
That is wonderful.
Divine Mercy at 3 o'clock, so people can email me their petition. Sometimes they call in, and we have, thanks to Murray and Pauline Maurer, they're our prayer warriors. They're there 3 o'clock Fridays leading us in Divine Mercy. We've had as many as 12 people there praying Divine Mercy at 3 o'clock. For people's intentions. So
that's wonderful, Steve.
It's just a really good tool in the hands of the Lord.
Amen.
Newman's Bookshop.
Deacon Louie, Steve touched on something about our fallen away brothers and sisters. I'm sure you run into some of them in your walk as a deacon.
Absolutely.
I found it, at least in my own life, is that most of our fallen away brothers and sisters probably left for either reasons of somebody hurt them or something was said or just not clarity about the Catholic teaching.
Right.
What's been your understanding of that?
Well, I think it's, a wide variety of things, as you had said, but I think the most important thing is for people to realize that each individual person has their own story.
Yep.
And the church wants them to be reconciled with the church. We want them to come back. And sometimes it's just as simple as going into a parish and asking to speak with a priest or a deacon to have some questions answered. Unfortunately, sometimes we take our theology and our answers from either the modern news media, which as of late has showed that they have no idea what goes on in Rome, no idea of what they're talking about when they write things, and as well as TV and radio and print. And so we have to be very careful of that. And they have said, go to the Vatican website, go to Vatican.va and check that website to double-check these articles if that's truly what the church is talking about. And so people become misinformed. They take you can't go to communion if you've been divorced. Well, typically that's not true. You can come. You need to reconcile yourself with the church. Situations where people get remarried and things like that may take a little extra time to work some of that stuff out, but it is worth it.
It absolutely is
worth it. And it's all understandable. It's not that anybody's trying to hurt anybody or punish anybody. These are all things that the church is 2,000 years old. This is nothing new for the church, these problems. But we want you to come back and experience the fullness of the Christian faith.
That's right.
The fullness of all the sacraments and the love that the church family has.
Yes. For those who might be joining us right now on Holy Family Radio, I'm here today in the studio with Steve Goffin, Executive Director of the Catholic Information Center and part of Newman's Bookstore, and Deacon Louis Zemlick from the Diocese of Kalamazoo. So it's, I just want to keep us informed, but we're talking about Catholic Men's Conferences today and an understanding. And really, I'm putting this challenge out to men right now. Perhaps you are a fallen away Catholic, or perhaps you're one that has not been attending Mass on any regular basis, or perhaps you've lost your faith. At least you thought you'd lost your faith. I would challenge you take the time to invest in yourself for a day. Come to a conference, whether it's at the Kalamazoo Conference on March 28th.
29th.
I'm sorry, March 29th, or whether it be the Grand Rapids CAFA Conference on March 8th. Put yourself in the hands of God and His providence and just ask yourself, what do I have to lose? You have everything to gain. So I'm just putting that challenge out. If there's some confusion in your life, this would be the place to get it answered. This would be the place where you can challenge yourself to a new life in the Lord Jesus. And, you know, if we can't have the answer right there, we'll find it for you. Because, Amen. You know, we're men of God. We love the Lord. And we want to share the fullness with you. So, you know, if anything else, take the challenge and see what happens. Steve, you know, I'm putting that challenge out for your conference, too.
Yeah, well, and it ties in with the theme of our conference, which is, does God want everyone to be Catholic? Yeah. And I think that's a fair question in the world today. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're as Catholics born and raised, you know, we come at it from one angle, okay? But not everybody's there,
exactly.
Right? Of course, we know the answer to that. However, it is a fair question. People on the outside looking in, you know, like, does, you know, what is it about you Catholics that you think you have the truth,
yeah.
You know? And so John is going to present us with, I know, a very lively and logical discussion on that.
Yeah. You know, there's Deacon Jones in Detroit, if you've ever heard his story, but mm-hmm. He was a non-denominational pastor, and he tells a story how he was going to do an old-fashioned communion service in his church. And he said the more he dug into it, the more he realized, oh my gosh, this is Catholic.
Right.
And at that point, there must have been a conversion in his heart because he knew no longer could he just go along where he was at.
Yeah.
And he had to either make a decision to believe in that truth or to deny it. And that's the only two choices he had.
Well, yeah. And in the society today, relativism is so dominant that there is no truth.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you have this pounding together
that's
of
right.
truth versus there is no truth. And
you have
and,
a clashing of these two realities.
Yes, confusion. And so, I would invite men, if you're having that question, does it really matter? Come to the conference. Yeah. And I'm sure John will be available for, just to talk afterwards. Usually these speakers
exactly.
have
And we also say this to men, you're never going to be challenged there. Nobody's going to make you stand up and testify to what you know or what you say. This is the time when you can really come in there and be spiritually relaxed.
Right.
And just listen and absorb. But be prepared to be morally challenged. And to be intellectually challenged on maybe some of the things you think about in this world today, it may change your perspective.
Right.
And that's the understanding of the conference, is to really take a hard look at the reality of the truth of the Catholic faith. Deacon, you've probably seen that many times, too. I know as I grew up, I got challenged many times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that in itself is part of the point, too. That as Catholics, we are challenged. Our faith is challenged. We have a lot of ground to cover. We have 2,000 years of history to cover.
Yeah.
We have people in our family who have behaved badly in the past, as with any family. But what we do is we recover from that. We pray about that. We try to understand that we live in a fallen world and that nothing is perfect. But love is, and the love of Jesus Christ. And we learn to deal with our problems and not hide from them or run away from them. And it's hard work, and it takes courage to be a Christian, and it takes that much extra courage to be a Catholic Christian.
Yes, it does.
It's difficult.
It is. It is. And we are. I don't know about you, but I'm challenged every day in my
faith. Absolutely.
To live it fully is to always be challenged.
Yeah.
And to go that extra mile. I'll say this to the men listening, to the people in the studio here. You can go to these conferences, and you may not have that understanding the first day you're there or even get much out of it. You may leave thinking, well, I don't know if what I heard was truth, but It may take a day, it may take a month, it may take a year, but it will start to sink in.
Yes.
And sometimes we're a little resistant when we go in there.
Right.
Because we're being challenged, and our life is being challenged in many ways. And so we go there, I won't say with a closed mind, but it needs to be opened up a little bit.
There's always people that come into Newman's Bookshop the week or two after the conference, and they want some follow-up conversation and understanding. Did I hear this right?
Or yeah.
And I really like that as well, you know,
yeah.
Just communicate. Maybe you didn't understand where he was coming from.
Exactly.
You didn't, you know, the proper interpretation of what he was saying or something like that.
But, you know, that's a great thing because that means they're inquisitive.
Yes.
They heard something and they're being challenged. And so they're reaching out for further information on that to be informed.
Yes.
And that's a wonderful thing. You know, I think about how many of our Catholics are the simple thing about decree of nullity. Mm. A lot of us don't have a keen understanding. Those type of situations are going to be within the men that come to these conferences who have been challenged in a failed marriage,
right.
A challenge in a failed job, maybe in recovery of some type. We don't know what it is, but those are the men are being challenged, and these are where these conferences become invaluable because there's going to be men of like kind and quality.
Correct. Yes, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once you realize you're not alone, the journey becomes, it lightens the load.
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
You start to put on the yoke of the Lord.
Right. That's right. And you start to live a life of conversion. You start to live the true Christian life because it really is, you know, Christ talks about picking up your cross and carrying it and following him. It's not about, and plenty of people do not pick up that cross.
Yeah.
They already have it. They already have it, but they don't want to recognize it.
Right.
And, we all have a cross to carry in this life, and some are heavier than others. Some are most people don't want to trade theirs in for anybody else's.
That's right.
But it is it's the way that God transforms us into this pure type of love for each other and to help one another. So I'm excited about the conference. I think it's going to be awesome.
You know, and Deacon, when you talk about love, this society of ours, this Western culture we live in, always sees love as a feeling.
Right.
And they never see it as a commitment.
Right.
And the love you're talking about, that agape love, this is that love that goes beyond feelings. This is the love that say, I love you regardless.
That's right.
And that's what God says to us.
Right.
He offers us this unconditional love. He is always waiting for us to come to him.
Right.
And we can never distance ourselves from the Father except through our own efforts.
Right.
Because he will always take us back.
I forget what saint said it, but I just always stuck with me, and I just like to repeat it. And that is, if you want to know how much God loved you 2,000 years ago, you look at a crucifix.
Yeah. Right.
You want to know how much he loves you today, you look at the Eucharist.
Yes.
And he's waiting for you.
He is. And that's a powerful understanding that we live in the presence of Christ in our church at all times.
Those
the
crosses,
living presence of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
Those crosses that we have to carry, you don't carry them alone. You're there.
That's
right. He's going to help us carry those crosses. Or maybe if we look at it right, we're helping carry his cross. And during this time of Lent, when we have this conference, that might be a good time to unite our cross to his cross.
Exactly.
And the passion.
You know, and this may be the first Lent, perhaps, that if a man comes to the conference, can really have a profound understanding of what it means to journey through the Lenten season.
Right.
Because we need that understanding. We're in the liturgical part of our year where we're entering into one of the holiest of our times. And we need to have that understanding of what it means to journey with the Lord Jesus.
Right.
On this walk. And when men come to these conferences, they're going to have a different understanding of what it means to be in a liturgical year in the church and what it means to journey with our Lord and to have this understanding of reconciling during this time and to coming into an understanding of receiving the Eucharist and the fullness of faith. It's a powerful time, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We look at that as a gift.
I think the Easter Vigil might be my favorite Mass because I just love to see those people that say, I want to be Catholic.
Yes.
And then they're baptized and confirmed and watching them receive the Eucharist for the first time.
Yes.
You know, and it's just an inspiring time for me to see these new people coming into the Catholic Church because they want to.
Right. Steve, we've drawn a few non-Catholic men into our conferences who probably were just inquisitive enough to see what was going on behind those closed doors.
Yeah.
And I think they realize we're pretty Christian.
Right. That's right.
You know, there are some denominations that feel that we don't have that same fervor for the Lord Jesus, but our whole source and summit of our faith is based on Christ.
Yeah, and so much of it is based in humility. I think that is, and I think that's something that we all have to remember when we go to Mass, because Mass is it's a very solemn occasion. It's a very prayerful, quiet occasion. You know, of course, there's the charismatic movement, which is, of course, very electric and powerful, and that's awesome, too. And we have those things in the church as well. But really this this real quietness, this real solemnness, that comes with the Word of God, the Liturgy of the Word, and then, of course, the Liturgy of the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. It's very, very powerful and can only be received. We receive this great grace and humility.
You know, Deacon, when you talk about that, too, and I've said it before, is that many of our brothers and sisters who have left the Catholic Church have gone on for, they want better music, or they want better, they want better preaching. They want to be, I won't say they want to be entertained, but it's an understanding that that's what they're looking for, is this type of things in their prayer life. But if Catholics could understand, we come into the Mass to enter into the mystery.
Right.
At the altar. That's what we need to really ingrain and infuse into our Catholic men, because the way we get them back into leaders of their families and the leaders of the communities and the leaders in the church is to have them have this understanding of what Christ offers us every day at that altar.
That's Amen. Right. I got to tell you, you hit it right on the head there. And I when I worked in the factories down in Middlebury, some of the guys would try to hammer me because I was Catholic, you know, and blah, blah, blah. So then I would turn it on them. I'd do John Martinoni. Hey, what about you? What church do you go to? Oh, I don't go to one. Why not? None of them are good enough to entertain me. They don't entertain me.
Exactly.
Enough. That is a difference between, I think some Protestants won't lump them all together, and right. Catholics. We go to give. We go to unite when we go to Mass, okay? So uniting yourself to Jesus at the foot of the cross there, on the cross, on the paten, when the priest raises up the paten, put your life on the paten. Mm-hmm. Unite it to Jesus.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Unite it to that sacrifice as the priest offers up to God the Father. And then we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, and then we can go out in the world to kick some butt. Can I say that?
All right. That's fine. You know, and it's really an understanding of, if we truly believe that is Christ present on that altar, what more could you want?
Yeah.
What more could you
possibly? Why would you go somewhere else?
It's a hard understanding for us, because in defense of my brothers and sisters who have left, is that they were never brought to that understanding.
Right.
And I say that lovingly, because you know what? It took me a while to come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
And we need to have our own conversion into that understanding that there is something greater than ourselves. It's at that altar.
Right. And when we read John chapter 6:6, and we read that where part of our brothers leave.
Yeah.
Here it is. There it is.
The bread of life discourse.
Right. And it is just a very powerful thing. And I think even in a lot of ways, even for us as Catholics who are in the faith, who come up to receive the Holy Eucharist, come to receive real Holy Communion, come to receive that real Jesus, if we had a full understanding of it, we'd probably be crawling on our hands and knees.
Absolutely.
You know? And so that full understanding, I don't think, is totally reached probably till we get to heaven.
Yeah, you're right.
But it is so close. It is so close.
You know, Deacon, I've had some of my brothers and sisters not in the Catholic faith say, we have communion at our church. I said, no, there's a difference. We are a Eucharistic church.
Right.
There's a difference there. We communion with one another, but the Eucharist is the source and summit. And we believe with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength that this is Christ present at the altar.
Right.
Body and blood, soul and divinity. And it really is the Eucharist that draws us into this relationship in our Catholic faith.
Amen.
Yeah. And it's also true for our Orthodox brothers and sisters.
Amen.
My mother was a Greek Orthodox.
Amen.
And she had a tremendous sense of reverency for the Eucharist there, too.
Yes.
And it was wonderful to see that. Steve, what time we have left, I just want to ask you, what are the things you got going on? Now, you said there's other things that goes on at the Newman Bookstore. Are you sponsoring other venues?
Yeah, at the end of this month, well, first of all, if people want to sign up for the men's conference, they can go to Newman'sBookshop.com.
That bookshop, it's a book and then book, one word, but it's got...
Yeah, we're named after Cardinal Newman, so we spell it old school way from England there.
Yes.
SHOPPE.com.
Wonderful.
Or you can just type in Catholic Bookstore, Kalamazoo, and it's going to be the first one that comes up.
Okay.
So the sign up is there.
What's the cost of your conference?
$35. Okay. If you sign up now, if you get seven or more, it's $30 per man.
Okay.
$40 at the door.
Okay.
I prefer people sign up early so we know to tell the caterer how much food to prepare.
Exactly.
But every year, 40 to 50 men sign up at the door, so we're kind of
we'll take them, right?
That's right. We'll take them.
That's good.
I guess the next thing that's coming up is Dr. Robin Perucci is going to be coming to Newman's Bookshop. She's videotaped a segment on the Affordable Health Care Act. As from a Catholic perspective, she's very involved in that, and she's local. It's going to air on EWTN. Father Mitch Pack was behind it.
Wonderful.
And so she's going to show it, and we're going to do a half-hour Q&A after that with her. So that'll be, I believe that's February 28th at Newman's Bookshop.
Wonderful, wonderful. So you've got a good schedule going on.
Always busy. Always something going on.
God has been gracious.
Yes.
And Deacon Lou, what parish are you at?
St. John Bosco in Matawan and St. Margaret Mary in Marcellus.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I'm sure that they're loving having you there.
Absolutely. I hope so.
It's wonderful to be a deacon, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's a life, like I said, we can never imagine.
It's a great grace.
But, you know, I want to encourage, once again, I want to encourage men to really consider, prayerfully consider, you know, really go before the Lord and ask him if this is a conference is for you. Ask him if it's something that you think you should be attending. You will not regret the day. I can only tell you this. In the 9 years we've had our conference, I have never seen a man come out there and saying, I don't want to come back. They go and they ponder, and lo and behold, the next year we see their smiling faces again, and they're bringing friends.
Nice.
Because there's something there that men need to confess to other men and be drawn into this mystery of who we are in Christ. And we are in the image and likeness. We are men called to be leaders. And the only way we can lead is to be led to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And once we're led in the truth, we understand what our role is, what our position in life is. So,
exactly.
Again, Steve, it's been a pleasure to have you here, and I, you know, we'll continue to pray for the Newman's Bookshop.
Is our hour up already?
I know.
We're just beginning.
It goes so fast, it's hard to believe. You know, there's so many other things we'd be talking about, but maybe that's for another show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. And Deacon, it's a pleasure to have you here on the show.
Great to be here.
I can see Kalamazoo is lucky to have you there because you're a man of God, and it really shows in your tone and in your voice and in just in your face.
You
radiate when you talk about the Lord. And I love to see that. You know, as always, we're grateful to the Holy Family Radio listeners that you continue to tune us in and that we can have these conversations that really bring us to a closest and a richest of Christ. So as always, we'll ask for your prayers for us and for Holy Family Radio. And I ask your prayers for Steve Goffney and the Newman Bookstore and for Deacon Louie that he'll continue in his ministry and serving the Lord Jesus. Thank you all for being here. May God bless you and may you go home safely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless.
You've been listening to Living the Catholic Life with your host, Deacon Jim Thorndale, on Holy Family Radio. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.